This evening's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And if you'd like to follow in one of the Bibles provided underneath your bench, you can find that scripture on page 1018. And the scripture reads, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified."
I am beginning to hear a lot of commercials on the radio, a lot of talk about the United States Air Force Base Marathon that is approaching. My first decade here, those commercials meant absolutely nothing to me. Not a thing. Those words, United States Air Force Marathon, didn't faze me at all. Until one day, Kathy and I were driving down the interstate. There was a decal in the back of someone's window, and it said 26.2. And she asked me, she says, what does that mean? I said, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. And technology's great, you know. So let me. Oh, that's a marathon, she said. I said, oh, okay. Well, I could do that. It all changed after that. You can 26.2 miles. I said, yeah. I said, I used to run 10 miles a day back in the 80s. And I said, that's nothing. She goes, I'd love to see you do it. I said, you don't think I can do it? And you can imagine how it escalated from there. The very next morning at this exact church building in that office back there, first thing I did, registered for that full marathon. And then I sent Kathy a copy of it. I sent Keith a copy of it and some other folks saying, I'm running it. Well, I got to tell you that in that whole getting geared up for the race, there are a lot of analogies that one can make with regards to the Christian race. Let's talk about the pre-race. First of all, there is indeed, there's the registration that occurs. Now, this year's U.S. Air Force Marathon is on September the 20th. You have approximately 174 days, 6 hours, and 15 minutes to sign up or to participate in that thing. So you better sign up soon. There's some things you need to know about the marathon before you decide to run it. Some pre-race stuff. This registration, for example. If you're going to run the race, you've got to register for the race. You can go to USAFmarathon.com. And you'll see up on the left-hand corner, it will say, there's a tab, registration. And you click on that, and you can register for the marathon. There are fees associated with it, depending on if you're going to run the full marathon or half marathon. There's already one of those races that's sold out. But the good ones are still out there. So if you want to run, and they're going to ask you to do something else, you got to fill out a waiver. That way you won't hold the United States Air Force liable when you have cardiac arrest. You have to sign that or you're not running. There's another thing you need to know. You need to know about training. If you plan on running the race, being involved in that marathon, my advice to you is to train tonight. If you rode with somebody, let them drive home and you run home. You need to do that. That's a good thing for you to do. Seriously, training for the marathon is indeed critical, folks, for your success in completing the marathon. You've got to do that. There are various kinds of workout programs that are available for you. As a matter of fact, you go to that website I just shared with you. There's a tab there that says training. Training. And it's very helpful. There's good practical advice on how to train for it. Let's talk about equipment or equipping yourself. You have to have the right type of equipment to run this race. It's not just I wake up one day and I'm going to run. For example, I did not understand this until after the race. You see, I learned my lessons in life the hard way. It's after the fact. You don't want to have tight-fitting shoes. You want your shoes to be a little bigger than your feet. Do you know why? That's because when your feet swell to look like clown feet, they can actually fit. There's room for your foot to fit in that shoe. So a good running shoe is important. It's vital that you have that. Socks, believe it or not. They shouldn't be baggy socks. They shouldn't be crinkly socks that get all mashed up in between your toes. Your toenails. Groom your toenails the night before the race. Make sure your toenails are groomed, and I'll share with you later why you need to be doing that. Your clothing needs to first, of course, be modest. Now, you knew I was going to say that. I'm a preacher. First of all, it needs to be modest, but second, it needs to be very light and comfortable. No heavy cotton shirts, no heavy cotton sweats that you want to run in. You may want to take along with you an electronic device to listen to music. I did that. I listened to the 80s music. I bebopped with Cyndi Lauper. My lips were filled with the Go-Go's, and I was determined I was going to finish that race with the Eye of the Tiger. So those was what I listened to motivate me, to get me going. A fanny pack. I remember Keith telling me this. He was saying, you know, you might want to keep a fanny pack. This is funny. Now that I look back at this, I says, oh, no, I don't want a fanny pack because it may slow me down. Keith, I know you had to be laughing in your head when I said that. Oh, yeah. You'll be slowing down for sure, mister. I tell you what, about mile 10, I was thinking, man, I wish I had a fanny pack. You know, you keep little snacks in there and little items that just kind of give you energy and keep you going. Fanny packs are good. The fanny packs are your friends. So that'd be my advice to you. Educate yourself about the race. You need to do that. Encouragers. My encourager was Keith Allen. Keith was a good encourager. Keith did all those things that were necessary for to help me understand what I was getting myself into and to help me be equipped and to just be in that right frame of mind. He was a great wingman. Most of your encouragers are going to be fellow participants, okay? My wife was not an encourager. She was a discourager. You need to go see a doctor before you run this race. You need to get your heart checked, and oh, by the way, have him to check your head while he's doing that. She was a discourager, you see. That was not good. Instruction. We know what it means to follow the instructions or to take instructions. And when it comes to the marathon, there's all kind of instructions that are given, instructions that are on how to train, what to wear, what to eat, what to do if you're injured, where to run, when to run. There's all kinds of instructions. And again, you go to the website, United States Air Force Marathon website. You'll see on there a place called training, and you'll see all kind of instructions that are given. Now, the reason that I'm sharing this with you is because it all mirrors what happens to a person when or before they become a Christian. Well, there's some subtle differences, but not really drastic differences. There's interest in one becoming a Christian. There's investment with one becoming a Christian. There are encouragers who encourage you to become a Christian. There's instruction that one will follow to become a Christian. Let's make our way up to the race. First of all, you get there, and there is a starting line. And I remember the morning that Keith and I last year, we went and participated in the race. I tell you, there's a starting line there. I couldn't see it because there was only like 4,000 runners, but I knew it was up there somewhere. And it's funny because what they'll do is now, if you plan on finishing at the top of the heat, you know, you need to be with the first whatever, and then you scatter back. You know, I was somewhere in the middle of the pack, and I realized I should have been in the back of the pack starting that race, but there's a starting line. And then they're off. The horn sounds. The weather the night before was just horrible. It had rained all night. It was wet. Mud everywhere. But the horn sounds, and then you just start off at a little jog, and then people are scattering and beginning to fan out. And I've got to tell you, it is the most awesome thing to see. When you're in a pack of about 4,000 runners and you're looking ahead of you and you know there's a good 2,000 runners up ahead of you and you can see them, all different little collars, you know, some of us different shapes, you know, but, you know, it gives you goosebumps to just see that. And I got to tell you, when you start this race, you're running on sheer emotion, sheer emotion. It's not, oh, I'm dreading this. It's like, man, you're pumped, you're excited, and you're just really into it. But those first few miles are effortless. You, again, you're running on emotion as you're running, and you're like, man, this is cool. And you know, you're in that groove. You've been training for this. Those first few miles aren't really that bad at all. And then I remember after I went beyond 6 miles, I'm like, uh-oh, new territory. In all of my pre-training, I've never gone past 6 miles. And the last time I tried to go 6 miles, I sprained my knee. I went to the doctor. The doctor said, you got to quit. You can't run this race. I went home to Kathy, and Kathy said, what the doctor said? She said I was fine. Kind of, sort of. She didn't know actually until after the race. The doctor told me to not run the race. But I was determined. I am going to run this race. I'm going to do it. I've got to do it for the sake of my manhood. I've already accepted the challenge. So those first few miles, they were effortless. But then I got to tell you, folks, fatigue eventually sets in. I remember at about mile 10, it was really starting to catch up to me. We were making our way down 444, getting close to Fairborn. And I remember going through Fairborn. Elena Rogers was in town, and there was a group of ROTC participants handing out little cups of water. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she's like, what are you doing? And I look at her like, what are you doing? You know, she was really surprised to see me. I was surprised to see me there, too. So, you know, she gave me a cup of water, and I drank it. But my sock, my right sock, was wet. And I'm like, I didn't spill water on it. What in the world's going on? And I had to stop just momentarily to figure out what was going on. And this is where the trimming your toenails part comes in. If you don't trim your toenails, those are like little razor blades digging into your toes. Okay? My sock was filling up with blood, was what it was. I had to put the sock back on. I had to make it, I had to make a determination at that point in time. You going to keep going or you going to stop? There's Foy's. I think they've got breakfast in over there at that little place over at Foy's. You know, but you keep going. But your body becomes fatigued. You begin to tire. Runners become walkers. I remember at about mile 13, I began to get cramps in my calves. Kept running. Mile 15, I got a real sharp pain in this right knee. Real sharp pain. And I said, my knee was telling my head, you've got to slow down because you're going to blow this thing out. So I went into a walking running mode. Now that's okay. You know why that's okay? First of all, you didn't quit. You're still running, walking, running, walking. And number two, I'll tell you why that's a good thing. It's because I might be going slow, but I'm going in the right direction. I'm still in it. At mile 20, I just had to throw in the towel and just walk. There was no more running. I remember when I finally made the decision, I'm just going to walk. This little old shriveled up man of about 75 years old comes running by me. Looked like Mr. Peabody on Carol Burnett. And he offered me a snack out of his fanny pack. God was watching out for me, I'm telling you. You know? So, but runners became walkers. Then there were runners, I got to tell you, who stopped running. You see that? At about mile 15, 16, there was a man just lying on the side of the road, just writhing in pain. He was done. Paramedics were with him. They were working on him. His friend was there just trying to help him out and do what he could do. He's trying to tell his friend, no, man, just go on. Go without me. You go without me. You go do this thing. I don't want to leave you here. And you could kind of hear this going back and forth, you know. It was tough to see. One of the hardest ones for me to see was at about, now listen, it's 26.2 miles. At the 25-mile mark, there was a man off to my left who was done. Paramedics were with him. And I thought, oh man, you are so close. If this wouldn't be weird, I'd love to just scrape you across my shoulder and let's go. Let's do this thing together. Because your heart went out to him because he was that close to finishing. But he stopped. Dedicated and the disciplined runners, they finished the race, or the crazy ones, maybe more like me, kept on going. And I remember that song we sing when I've gone the last mile of the way, that's what entered into my head as I saw the goal line. The finish line. When I've gone the last mile of the way. And I was humming that song to myself because my battery died and I couldn't listen to any more 80s music. So, you know, that happens after about 6.5 hours, you know. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I wasn't going to walk across that finish line. I was going to make my knee. If you blow out, we're going to blow out running across that line. So I ran like the last 50 yards. Just, I don't care. You want to run it. And you cross that finish line, and man, what an awesome feeling. You get your big medal, and you just, it's hard. I'll tell you one of the hard things, One of the hard things to do after you cross the finish line, you can ask any runner this, was stopping. That's right. You got it, Lloyd. That's it. Because you were programmed to just keep going and go and go and go. And it's like, what? I get to stop? You're done. It's over with. You don't need to run anymore. It's finished. I don't know. If you decide to run a marathon, and listen, this isn't about really me enlisting you into becoming a runner as far as the marathon goes. I'm just trying to prepare you for it. I remember Kathy reading to me off the internet before I ran the race. She said, look at this. It says that some people, they become real emotional after the race. I mean, days after the race. And I said, what do you mean? Oh, they just out of the blue just start crying. And I said, oh, that's crazy. Do you know what happened to me the day after? I was sitting at the dinner table, no one around me, and then I just broke down. I just started crying. I thought, what's wrong with me? You know, it does something to you. But, you know, the Christian race, there's a lot of things. Listen, we begin, folks, with an interest. We get plugged into something. Give our attention with regards to Christianity, with having a relationship with the Lord. And sometimes it happens as a result of, you know, maybe you've got a friend that's a Christian and you see something about them that says, wow, you know, how do you keep it together? How do you do that? What is it about your life that I don't have, man? I'm interested in that. Or maybe it's a tragedy that's occurred in your life. Sometimes that happens. A tragedy has occurred in your life, and it's just like, I'm looking for something, someone to help me through this. We hear instructions about what to do. How to really have a relationship with the Lord. How to give our lives to Jesus Christ. What is it that God, what do you want me to do? And then we understand His plan of salvation. All right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. And I'm in. I'm in this race. I'm running it. As Paul alluded to, as the holy inspired scriptures point to, the fact that it's a race. We're running well. And man, when we start out, think about when you were baptized into Christ. Did you come out of that watery grave like Eeyore? Well, I'm glad I'm a Christian. You know, you didn't do that. You came out of that watery grave, you were so excited, you were pumped, and you were just wanting to tell your friends, you were wanting to tell the world. And you started out running and you were doing great. Oh man, this is such a pure, peaceful feeling that I've got. You're in a groove. You've got this thing. You've got Christianity in the palm of your hand, and it just makes sense to you, and things are great. Then all of a sudden, we face obstacles. Wow. I'm not sure I know how to deal with this problem in my life. I mean, I started out great. Things were going great. But now I've got obstacles I'm facing outside of the church. I've got obstacles I'm facing inside of the church. I've got problems going on in my family. I've got problems going on at work. I just, man, how am I? Oh, this is tough. And we become fatigued and we become tired. Along the way, if we stick with it, we witness quitters. Isn't that sad? Not all who start the race are going to finish the race. The Christian race. Something happens somewhere along the way. Those obstacles, the pain, the discouragement that comes along in their life, they decided, I'm done. I'm not I'm not in this thing anymore. Count me out. And it breaks our heart. It breaks our heart. You know what that's like. Maybe you've got family members. I do. My sister was baptized into Christ before I was. But she stepped off the track a long time ago. She quit running. I've got a good friend that we used to call ourselves Paul and Silas. We used to go evangelize, knock doors. We were energetic. We were totally committed. We would go to various, man, that's one of the things he and I look forward to. We look forward to whatever gospel meeting was going on within a, you know, an hour drive of where we live. And you know, we were like Paul and Silas. He's living with a woman today. He left his wife and his kids. He's not running anymore. He quit. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to see that. And at times, man, it's just like, I just want to shake you and just pick you up and kind of put you on my shoulders and let's go. Nah, I'm done. Not interested anymore. But we press on. We don't quit. We finish the race, even though there are those who are professionals who tell us, you shouldn't be running. The smart ones in our institutions, there is no God. You're wasting your time with this church stuff. What are you doing? This is a big waste. I'm going to give you very quickly tonight some suggestions on how to run well. First of all, in the book of Galatians, in chapter 5 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the letter to those saints there, they had gotten off course. There were Jews who were poisoning the well, their minds. And trying to convince them that you've got to hold to that Mosaic law. Now, if you want to be all in on this Christianity stuff, that's fine, but circumcision is still binding, and you still have to hold to the Mosaic law. Now, folks, if you understand anything about, here's your first hint. If God intended for us to live under the old covenant, why did he give us a new covenant? Why? And it wasn't just for one segment of population or race, but it's for everybody. And Paul was so discouraged because they were running such a good race. And he says, who has hindered you from running? You were running so well. The sad but true fact is that God shows us and tells us how to run well this Christian race. First of all, my advice to you is start the race, Mark 16:16. Give your life to Christ. Listen, you're not going to finish the race if you don't start the race. I want to encourage you to make that decision. If you've not made that decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, to become a Christian, start the race today. Two, as Roger read for us from 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verses 24 through 27, bring your body and your mind under control. Christ control. Dedicate your life to living the Christian life. That's what Paul was talking about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 24 through 27. The author of Hebrews there in Hebrews in chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, listen to what he says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race," he says, "that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I've got to tell you, every race I have ever participated in, every marathon I've ever, that I participated in, I just don't remember someone running by me with dumbbells in their arms or hands, you know? Or big old leg weight. I don't recall that. You know why? Those impede progress. Now, I'm not saying those aren't good things to have when you're training or cross-training, but man, I tell you what, when you're running for time and you're serious about being in this race, you're not going to have any obstacle strapped to you. Brother, we need to dedicate our minds, our hearts, our bodies to Jesus Christ. Three, encouragement. Embrace it, accept it, and give it. Let us exhort one another today, daily while it is called today, the author of Hebrews says there in Hebrews 3:13. And when you go back and you look in Hebrews in chapter 3, the author is all about telling those Christians and encouraging them to not lapse back, not fall off the wagon, so to speak, but remain faithful. Encourage. How can we do that? He says, encourage one another. Brethren, is there any doubting why we see with the Apostle Paul, when he begins his ministry, Barnabas, what's his name? The son of what? Encouragement is right by his side. Let's take a little quick glimpse and see what Paul just came from. Oh, that's right. Paul, the saint, Saul the saint slayer, who was arresting Christians, who was allowing Christians to be murdered, Stephen. He was breathing murderous threats against the church. But ever since he had that Christ encounter on the way to Damascus, he's a changed man. Was the church ready to accept him, embrace him immediately? No! This is a setup. This has to be a setup. But here's Barnabas, the son of encouragement, and he learned lessons well. It's okay. I'll take a chance. He was glad he did. Brother, we need to encourage one another as we're running this race together. There's enough discouraging things going on in our lives, are there not? To deter us from continuing to run. There's enough out there. Going back to the marathon, before I got into Fairborn, and I'm sure folks were encouraging all along the way, but you know, that first 10 miles, it was like, okay, I'm buzzing along. And I'm doing good. You might even have a sense of, I've got this. This is in the bag. This is all me. But when the body begins to wear down, you begin to encounter fatigue. It's like, man. And I remember there was a lady standing up here on 444 right across from the Flying Tiger. That's it. And she's holding this sign. And it says, Chuck Norris never ran a marathon. I've never forgotten that. And all of a sudden I thought, I think I can kick Chuck Norris's rear end now. Not, you know, but it was the encouragement that I needed. Chuck Norris never ran a marathon. And I thought, all right, you know, you keep on going. And then I got downtown Fairborn, foot still wet, bothering me. And then there was a guy, and then you get a little loopy, you get a little delusional, and I'm running, and there's this guy, come on, Scott, go, Scott. I'm thinking, who is that man? I've never seen that man before. And then I look down at my beard, it says, Scott, across the front of it. Like, okay, that's how he knew my name? But I liked it. You know, you want to encourage somebody, say their name. Say their name. You know, Jesus tells us, he knows us by name. I love that. I'm not just a somebody to Jesus. He knows me by name. And that's encouraging. That's encouraging. I want to encourage you to be an encourager. Embrace it and offer it. 2 Timothy 4:7. Listen to what Paul says. Listen, folks. His life on this earth is just about ready to come to an end. He knows it. His time of departure, he says, is at hand. In verse 7, he says, look at this. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Do you know what he's saying? In marathon terms, in racing terms, I finished strong, man. I finished strong. If you're ever around runners, get near the finish line and listen for someone yell out, one last kick! They're not saying, ha-ha, Chuck Norris stuff. They're saying, man, just one more big kick. If you've got anything left in the tank, go for it. This is what Paul is saying. The end is near, but man, I've got one big kick left, and I am finishing strong. And Brendan, that's what I want to encourage you. Keep running. The goal line is near. Finish strong. Hang in there. Be faithful. Don't get weak-kneed. And then here it comes, finally. He says, there's a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but also for all those who long for or love His appearing. Paul's saying, when I cross that finish line, do you know what the good Lord's going to do? He's going to crown me. He's going to crown me. I got to tell you, after 26.2 miles, and you cross that finish line, and they drape that big old medallion across your neck, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. But it doesn't even come close, anywhere close to comparing. So when we're done running this Christian race, church, and we cross that finish line, and God crowns us. That's the ultimate reward. Right there. Right there. I got to tell you, Friday evening, Kathy and I were going to go visit her mom and dad in Newark, Ohio. On one side of the vehicle in front of us, it said 26.2. On the right side of the vehicle, in the back of the glass, there was a decal. It said 13.1. And then she asked me, she said, but what's that decal in the middle? I don't know what it says, and I don't care what it says, I said. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I don't know what it says, and I don't care. But I've never, ever regretted signing up for the Christian race. Never regretted it. Still running it. Going to keep running it. I need your help to keep running it. I want to help you continue on. Keep running this race. Is it going to be pain-free? It's not. We're going to encounter obstacles along the way. We got to rise above it. There's going to be folks that's going to tell you, quit running. Stop running. It's not worth it. You're wounded. You're injured. Maybe he wounded you. Maybe she wounded you. I'm going to tell you, the ultimate source of a wound that deters us from being faithful and being what we ought to be unto God isn't godly at all. It comes from the devil. And we need to encourage one another to stay on course. Keep running. And let's cross that finish line together. Let's do that. It'll be worth it. I promise you. Tonight, maybe you haven't even started running yet. You haven't even registered. You haven't even jumped in. You're not even at the starting line. But now all of a sudden there's an interest. I'm interested. Tell me more about Jesus. Tell me more about becoming a Christian. Here's what you need to know. If you're lost in your sins, and you are if you've not given your life to Christ, you believe that Jesus is Lord, and you come forward this very evening, repenting of your sins, confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and you're baptized into Christ, the horn has sounded, the gun has gone off, you're in. I want to encourage you to do that tonight. Start the race, finish the race. Maybe you've done those things, and maybe along the way, your progress has been impeded. And you're not running like you should. And you're not doing the best you can do. Maybe you even quit. But you're here, and you want to give it your all. I want to give it a kick. I want to return to the Lord. I want to have a right relationship with Him. Maybe it's the prayers of the church you need. If you feel you need to come forward and respond to this invitation, please do that, and together we stand and we sing.